Murder at the Gardens by Lisa Cutts and read by Willow Nash for Saga Egmont. Prologue. The most wonderful thing about the noises of the howler monkeys was that they covered the sounds of the break-in. Not a mean feat to get away with during an otherwise quiet late night in the Kent countryside. The two figures huddled together, crouched down away from prying eyes and the glare of the cameras. There was little to worry about from the security men in their office, the lights from the television screen flashing between the gaps in the cheap, broken blinds. The sounds of a comedian, an enthusiastic audience, and guffaws from the employees gave the intruders further reassurance they would remain undisturbed. While the security team ensured that no crimes were being carried out in the 20 square feet around them, the hooded trespassers crept along the edge of the formal gardens and onto the animal enclosures. Each of them had a pair of bolt croppers in their gloved hands. Each knew exactly where they were going. The route was one they had taken on a number of occasions, sometimes in the fog that swept across without warning from the marsh, mostly in the warmth of a summer day. This was a well-trod path with no room for error. These people weren't merely deadly serious, they were fanatical. There were times that they didn't like what they had to do, but they did it for the greater good. It wasn't the first time they had broken into the zoo and caused problems, and it wouldn't be the last. They were acting under very specific orders and neither relished the idea of crossing their boss or running the risk of getting caught. There was far too much at stake. Not a word was exchanged as, with heavy hearts, they went to carry out their task. Any sound they made hacking through branches and sawing into fences was muffled by the primate's babble. They went about their covert operation completely unaware that they too were being watched. Their every move was being followed as they crept along, scrambling in the shadows. Any thoughts they had of being top of the food chain in this murky enterprise were wrong. They were, in fact, the prey, their progress carefully monitored by someone capable of much more than they could ever imagine. If the whole sorry business wasn't carried out correctly, one murder wouldn't be the end of it. Nothing was being left to chance. Chapter 1. Belinda Penshurst watched her Labrador, Horatio, disappear into the distance. She whistled, knowing full well that he could hear her. She didn't really have time to chase him today, though it was a game they often played when they got a little further from the castle, to limit any damage and avoid a telling off from the gardeners. She managed to catch up with the young dog, his head in a bush, tail in the air, backside swinging like a pendulum. He wasn't even a year old, and had more energy than Belinda could cope with at times. "We have to head back now, Horatio," she said, trying her best to tempt him with a squeaky toy. It worked like a charm. He was all ears and paws as he turned to focus on the onion with its happy face. Inexplicably, it was his favourite. With a teasing squeak, she turned and ran back across the field, toy held aloft. Her dog-walking shoes hit the ground as she went, the sole's velcro-like grip preventing her from slipping on more than one occasion. By the time Belinda reached the rear of the castle, its magnificence never something she took for granted, her shoulder-length black hair was a tangled mess, her face had a touch more sheen than she would have liked, and her feet and legs were caked in mud. Still, she was head over heels in love with life. She lived in a castle in the beautiful village of Little Chalham, with her scatty brother Marcus, their mostly absent father, and her faithful Labrador, and to top it all off, her friend Harry Powell lived only a few minutes away. For a moment, the figure at the double doors leading to the patio seemed like a ghost from another life. Belinda froze. Horatio, momentarily confused, came skidding to a halt, churning the grass as he put his brakes on. He barked at the stranger. Then, like most wayward puppies, hurtled towards him, irrespective of danger. Belinda felt as if her nerves were on fire. Despite the coolness of the morning, she stood on the edge of the patio and stared at her ex-boyfriend.